Our reading this morning is taken from John's Gospel, John chapter 20, verses 19 to 25, page 1089 of the Church Bible. John's Gospel, chapter 20, verses 19 to 25. And I'm going to take you back to the night of Christ's resurrection. So Christ is risen in the morning, the women have heard, they've seen. The men have heard, they've rushed to the tomb, they've went back, and they're given a message that we hear later on from Jesus to go to Galilee and wait. So this is the disciples now in Galilee, and it's the evening of the first day. Let us hear the word of God. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, then they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand in his side, I will not believe." Amen. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Almighty God, as we come to your spoken word for today, we pray that you will open deaf ears to hear what you have to say. Open blind eyes to see what you have to show. And soften hardened hearts to receive the good news of the risen Jesus Christ. Amen. For my sins, I'm a St Mirren fan. Yes, that lowly team in the Championship. But over the last few weeks, because of pressures of work and family situations, I've not been going to the home games. And yesterday, St Mirren won 5-0. And my daughter, who normally comes with me, sent me a text saying, "Isn't always the best games we miss? Isn't always the best games they miss? When we should have been there." Imagine you're invited to a party, but you don't fancy it. And later you find out it was the best party ever. Isn't that always the case? You're invited to a sports match. Maybe I'll invite you to Easter Road next week for St Mirren play Hibs in a crucial match. But you don't fancy it. And later you find out it was the best sports match ever. You're invited to a movie, but you don't fancy it. And later you find out it was the best movie ever. You're invited to a restaurant, but you don't fancy it. And you later find out it was the best restaurant ever. You get up on a Sunday morning to go to church, but you don't fancy it. And later you find out it was the best service ever. And you find yourself saying, "If I was only where I should have been, then I would not have missed it." Today we're going to look at the disciple Thomas and what he missed when he wasn't where he should have been. Today we're going to be thinking about he wasn't where he should have been. In John chapter 20, verse 19, it tells us that on the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, and then in verse 24 it says, "Now Thomas, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came." On that day when Jesus rose from the grave, Thomas was posted missing. Where was he? Maybe he was ill. Maybe he was grieving. Maybe he had family to take care of. Maybe he had other important things to do. Maybe he could find one of 1,001 excuses. However, what he was doing that evening, he wasn't where he should have been. And because he wasn't where he should have been, he missed more than a blessing of Jesus coming into the midst of the disciples. He in fact missed 7 blessings. Earlier that day, an angel of the Lord, as we read in Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 16, verse 7, had told Mary and the other women to go to Peter and tell him that Jesus has risen and was going to Galilee, and he would meet with Peter and the other disciples there. So the disciples head off to where Jesus had planned to meet them, and they waited, and they waited. And as we read later, Thomas was missing. In verse 19, we see 3 things that Thomas missed. Firstly, Thomas missed the power of the Lord. You will notice in this verse that even though the disciples knew that Jesus had risen, even though they knew that everything he had said, everything he prophesied had come true, where were they? They were in a room with a door locked in fear. And Jesus came and stood among them. There was no chap at the door. There was no secret knock. In his risen power, Jesus came and stood among them. The cross could not hold Jesus. Death could not stop him. And a tomb had no chance of holding him. So there was absolutely no way a locked door would stop Jesus from fulfilling his destiny. And Thomas missed the power of the Lord because he wasn't where he should have been. Also, in verse 19, Thomas missed the presence of the Lord. Jesus came and stood among them. 3 days earlier, they witnessed Jesus being beaten, accused, tried, mocked, carrying the nailed and lifted high on a cross. 3 days earlier, they saw Jesus come into his spirit, into his Father's hands, and breathe no more. 3 days earlier, they witnessed Jesus being locked in a tomb. 3 days earlier, every one of the 10 disciples had turned their back on Jesus, denying him and disowning him, leaving Jesus on his own when he needed his friends more than ever. And now Jesus, with grace, humility, power, and love, stands among them. What a moment that must have been. He was once dead, and now he's alive. He was once in a tomb, and there he stood in that room with the disciples. His very presence filling every corner of that room. And Thomas missed it. Thomas missed the presence of the Lord because he wasn't where he should have been. Thirdly, Thomas missed the peace of the Lord. Jesus' opening words, "Peace be with you." When you're facing fear, when you feel like you're entrapped in a locked room, then these are the words that you want to hear, "Peace be with you." And even more so, you want to hear Jesus himself say these words, "Peace be with you." And whatever Thomas was doing that evening, on that first night, whatever was more important to him than being with the disciples, he missed the peace of Christ because he was elsewhere. Probably at the moment when he needed the support and companionship, when he needed comfort and compassion of his closest friends, when he truly needed to experience the peace of the Lord, he was posted missing. When you experience the peace of the Lord, you also experience the power and the presence of the Lord. And Thomas missed it. He missed the power, the presence, and the peace of the Lord. You can probably guess what I'm going to say next, because he wasn't where he should have been. Verse 20. Thomas missed the praises of the Lord. Jesus shows him his hands and his feet, and the disciples are overjoyed. They were elated, jubilant, thrilled. They weren't just happy, but they were overjoyed. They would be bursting with exuberant happiness. And all their fears and concerns, all their worries and problems, in an instant would disappear as Jesus stood in the middle of their gathering. Is it not always the way in life? God turns up at the meetings we don't attend. God turns up and the people who do come are blessed. Like Thomas, isn't it always the best services you miss? We are not where you should have been. Verse 21. Thomas missed the promotion of the Lord. Again, Jesus grants him his peace. This morning as we gather for worship, could you do with a double dose of the peace of Christ? I know I could. I could do with a double dose of the peace of Christ every day of my life. And Jesus grants him his peace, and in doing so, he also promotes them. He says, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. For 3 years, these men have been in training. They have watched and listened. They have seen and they have been taught. They have tried and they have failed. And at times, yes, they have succeeded. But now Jesus says it's time. And as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. They're ready to be sent out to complete his mission. And what a mission that would be. They were being sent as trailblazers of the good news of Jesus Christ. They were being sent out as the first ones to take the good news that was spread throughout the world. They were being sent into the world to tell others of the amazing love and grace of the resurrected Jesus Christ. They were being promoted. They were being sent. And on this occasion, Thomas missed his chance of promotion. Thomas missed it because he wasn't where he should have been. Verse 22. Thomas missed the pouring out of the Lord. Once promoted, the disciples are then commissioned to go through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Jesus breathed on them the Ruach of God, the breath of God, the Holy Spirit of God. And that Holy Spirit that dwells within all of us is suddenly brought to life within these disciples. That same Holy Spirit that will fill all believers at the time of Pentecost to come and still fills all believers today, including us, just as Jesus has promised. This wonderful presence of the Holy Spirit was now being poured out upon the disciples. They were being given a taste of what was to become. They were being commissioned and anointed for what was to follow. They were being filled with the powerful presence of the Holy Spirit. They were being set apart from the others until the day of Pentecost. And Thomas missed it. Thomas missed it. Because he wasn't where he should have been. Verse 23. Thomas missed the privilege of the Lord. Jesus has given the disciples a spirit-powered, a spirit-guided, a spirit-filled mission to preach the good news of the resurrected Jesus Christ, to preach the forgiveness of sins. And the disciples did not have the power or the authority to forgive sins. Only God can do that. But they were given a message to go and preach for the forgiveness of sins. And Jesus gave them the privilege of telling new believers that their sins were being forgiven for their belief and acceptance in Jesus Christ. And today we who are believers have that same privilege to go to others to tell them of the love of Jesus Christ. And if they accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Saviour, then God, through Christ, through the cross, will forgive their sins. And we can boldly and honestly announce the forgiveness of sins with certainty when we ourselves find repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. These disciples were given a privilege of the Lord, something that they had never received before. And Thomas missed it because he wasn't where he should have been. At this one meeting, at this one gathering, the disciples had met the risen Jesus. They had witnessed his wounds. They received his peace. He's given their mission. They've received the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. And they've received the privileges of Jesus. And Thomas missed the whole lot because he missed one gathering. And regardless of his excuse for not being there, he missed a gathering that could never be duplicated. This was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to be with Jesus, the risen Jesus. And he missed it. And in verse 25, the disciples tell him all about it. Isn't that the way? The best match, the best meal, the best movie, the best party. Everyone comes back and say, what a night we had. They come back and tell Thomas all about it. And Thomas learned the hard way that there are some things you have to see for yourself. There are some places where you have to be as a priority. So this morning, what can we learn from the experience of Thomas? Thomas is a good picture of why being faithful to church is so vitally important, especially on a Sunday. You see, if you decide to skip church for whatever reason, you never know what you'll miss when you fail to come. And people have all kinds of excuses and reasons for the service they miss. And we live in days when people are busy. Lives can be hectic. They or their children are busy with sports or other activities. And sometimes God is pushed to the side and is not first in their priorities. Some don't like the minister. Maybe you heard I was coming this morning and decided we are going to come. But what about the person next to you who heard I was coming and decided, I'm not going? In my own church down in Partick South, I announced that Tom Moffat, a retired minister, was coming. And some of the congregation shook their head in approval. And others looked at the floor. So yes, some people don't like the minister. Or the style of worship. Or some decision that's been made by the church leadership. And people have all kinds of excuses they offer to why they miss church. And sometimes God doesn't even rate second, third, or fourth place in their lives. Worshipping God must come first. Worshipping God must come first. And failing to prioritize church, in my opinion, is a breach of at least two commandments. And if we breach two commandments, if we breach one commandment, then it's a sin. So if we fail to come to church for whatever reason, it's a sin. Now, you may be on your deathbed. You may be a member of this church who is housebound. Then we let that go. There are certain things that's okay to miss church for your health and well-being. But there's other things that we think will just do that instead of being here. God's first commandment, you shall have no gods before me. On the Sabbath, when we put others, our hobbies, our interests, our shopping, our work, or whatever it may be before God Almighty, then we are making that other thing our God. And in doing so, we break the first commandment. God gave us 6 days a week to spend time with our family and friends, to spend time in our hobbies and interests, to spend time working if that's our choice of what we have to do. And all he asks is that for one day a week, you make him your priority. For one day a week that we gather as fellow brothers and sisters in Christ on the Sabbath, is that really a lot to ask? God has created you. He breathed life into you. His Son shed his blood for you. His Son died on a cross for you. His Son defeated death for you. And all he asks is on the Sabbath, you come and spend time with him. You put him first. Then there's a fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. When we deliberately decide not to come to church on the Sabbath, we are deliberately choosing to break the fourth commandment. And this might sound harsh, but church attendance is not an optional matter. It is a command from God himself. In fact, it's a double command, and it's a measure of our love for God and for Jesus. Like Thomas, when you miss church, when you miss an appointment with Jesus, when you're not where you should have been, you miss an opportunity that will never present itself again. On the evening of Christ's resurrection, Thomas, for whatever reason, was missing, and he missed more than a blessing. Thomas missed the power, the presence, the peace, the praise, the promotion, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and the privileges of the Lord. So this morning, well done. Give yourself a pat on the back. You are here. But the next time you think about taking a Sabbath off, just think of Thomas and all that he missed, and then come. Come and worship, and come and be with Jesus, and come and be blessed. Amen. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Father God, I could imagine this morning that some of us feel pretty good about ourselves because we are here. We are here not only to be blessed, but we're here to welcome and to be welcomed by you. We gather as a family to sing your praise, to hear your word, to be together. But there's others, Lord, who are not here, who should be here, but they're not. Give us the courage to go to them and tell them what they've missed, and encourage them not to miss worshipping you on this special of days. We thank you for the teaching of Thomas. We thank you that Christ is risen. We thank you that he met with his disciples on that first evening. And we thank you that as we worship here today, Jesus is here, in our midst, moving amongst us, comforting, holding, helping each other. And may we today in this place receive the peace of Christ. Amen.